You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. Yes, it is Gasparilla Week. Joe's got his fire costume on. We love to see it. Welcome, everybody, with us, joining us live. We thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, we've got a great action-packed show for you this week. We'll be talking about all the games the Lightning played this week, a look ahead. It's game day. We're going live here right before the Lightning gets to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's going to be a lot of fun, so welcome in. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Doing great. It's the best time of the year by far. Gasparilla weekend coming up, representing RBLR Sports. How you guys doing?
Oh, it's going to be hard to follow up that intro, Joe. That was just amazing. That shocked me a good bit, but what an excellent outfit you have on, Matey.
Yeah, thanks. The guys had no idea I was putting this on until we went live. But, you know, I can't grow all this facial hair for months leading up to Gasparilla to not don the attire for at least one show with everyone.
Joe, it looks great. It makes me jealous of my pirate costume that's currently in the closet right now. It's not nearly as good as that. It's good stuff. But hey, we got a lot of fun things to talk about. Welcome everybody in live again. Don't forget, if you want to join the conversation, throw your comments down below. We'll try to get them up on screen. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. If you're not with us live, don't forget, you can follow us at RBLR, at RBR Lightning, so you don't miss out on these future episodes. Liking, subscribing, ring that bell for notifications, all of that fun stuff, so you don't miss out and join the party. But guys, I say let's jump right into it. We got a couple of games to talk about, one not so great one and then some good ones, and then we'll get into tonight's game as well, because I know that we want to get into that with a big game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. By the way, Beverly says you look great, Joe, with your part. Oh, look at that. He's even got the famous glass like a pirate. Man, this guy, I tell you what. All right, game number one for the Lightning, though, to start off this little week for them. A game against the Boston Bruins in Boston. The Lightning had beaten the Bruins back home about a week earlier than this. This game did not go according to plan, guys. Final score of 6-2. Sometimes it's just not your night. I think that's kind of the way you can recap this one. Nothing really went right for the Lightning at all. They eventually did get two back in the second period and made it a two-goal game. But Boston scores two empty netters in the third period. So they at least did show up eventually. One person I can say did not show up to this game was Braden Point, because he missed the evening, probably due to another alarm situation. This has happened before, and something I love that John Cooper is very strict on this. If you miss a team meeting, you're not playing. It doesn't matter how good you are, no matter what you are in the organization, he holds people accountable.
Well, I mean, I think we should also probably hold a few people accountable as well. There's a number of mistakes on the team. Vasi wasn't his sharpest. Not all of those goals were his fault, but you know, there's a couple ones, like specifically the Marchand shot, that really kind of hurt the team. Hedman, uncharacteristic mishandling of the puck, completely burnt the Lightning. I think Nick Paul gave up on the 2-on-1 on that play, more or less. And, you know, the guys just, I don't know, they just weren't ready for the intensity that we all knew Boston was going to bring after that last matchup.
This is the first time in a while that I've been, like, actually frustrated at a game. Like, and that's, I guess, a good thing. You know, these losses that we've had over the last couple of weeks or so, they've all been pretty close. So for this being the first blowout loss in a good while, I mean, two empty net goals, sure, but still, it was a pretty rough game by everyone involved. You could say Point was marooned or sent to Davy Jones' locker room. Arg. Nice. That's terrible.
The Gasparilla puns.
You know, his absence was felt, but it wasn't, you know, solely on, you know, his absence why the team didn't perform. There was just nothing doing at all for the first two periods, it seemed. Like you said, Victor Hedman, despite him having, you know, 2 points on the only two goals we scored this game, him being a goal scorer, not his finest showing at all. It's just the rare stinker. And if this is, you know, the one, you know, 4-goal spread we've had in the last month or maybe even 2 months, I mean, I'll take it. It sucks that it was against a divisional opponent, but it seems like they rebounded pretty fine. I guess this is a game you can just kind of, you know, throw in the trash, you know, keep it in the rearview mirror and move on.
You play 82 hockey games in a season. That's a lot. You're not going to win them all. You're going to have these bad games. Ideally, you put these ones behind you, you move on, and you get better after that. That's the key, getting better in the long run. And, you know, the Lightning did get better. Was it perfect? No. And we'll get to that here with this game against the Anaheim Ducks. They win this one 4-3 in the shootout, the first shootout game for the Lightning of the season. It was a close one all the way up until the end, back and forth through the first and second period. The Ducks tied it pretty late in the third period, but Jake Guentzel comes through in the shootout. He's the only one that scores. A couple of nice saves by Vasilevskiy on the Ducks on their shootout attempts, and they get the 2 points. So, you know, the Ducks are a team lower in the standings, a team you expect to win, but the Ducks are also just kind of one of those sneaky teams that will sneak up on you, and the Lightning tend to sometimes play down to their competition a little bit, but they get the win, and sometimes at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, the Ducks aren't as bad as they have been in years previous either. You know, they're kind of starting to maybe not complete their rebuild, but they're competitive. It seems like most every team in the NHL is at least a tiny bit competitive this year, and the Ducks are one of them. They're chippy. They've got some goal scoring starting to develop, and they had us on the ropes for a bit. I do think the Lightning played, you know, a really good game, a much better game than they did in Boston. The Ducks got a couple, I don't want to say lucky goals, but that first goal that went in on Vasilevskiy, you know, it was kind of a fluky goal, if you will. It came off of Troy Terry's stick, just inadvertently. But overall, I'd say it was a really good game. You know, a late goal they gave up to, you know, tie the game up. And in the shootout, I thought the Lightning were pretty darn dominant. Or not the shootout, the overtime period. I thought the Lightning were pretty darn dominant, too. So a closer game than it really needed to be. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, the Bolts actually played a pretty good game of hockey. Vasilevskiy, he had a really good game. It was a really fun game to watch in the arena. I know I'm not a big fan of shootouts at all on the TV, but in the arena, shootouts are still pretty electric to me.
Well, I mean, you get your money's worth, right? If you're at the game, you get a little bit of bonus hockey. You get to extend the night a little bit. I mean, yeah, the Lightning did some things, you know, really, really well in this game. The power play came on so strong, but they were pretty weak in the faceoff circle, and that led to quite a few shots on goal against. That one snipe from the corner, it was a really, really, really well-placed shot, but that's, you know, one that I also, I kind of felt like was almost an extension of what happened to Vasi against Boston, where, you know, some really nice play shots he wasn't quite ready for as often as he usually is. And look, the Lightning, you know, they gave up 37 shots on goal in that game. You know, I don't know how Anaheim does it, where they can have a team that's not really playing that well overall still challenge the Bolts so regularly. But, you know, they seem to sometimes have this formula against us and give the Lightning a little bit of struggles. But, hey, man, turning it around and getting points after the big loss to Boston is a great thing.
But despite the high volume of shots, I don't think that a lot of them were dangerous. Like, yeah, they did get in close a couple of times. They did challenge Vasi, but I thought the Bolts did a pretty good job of boxing them out, keeping them from distance.
Absolutely.
A lot of it was just shot volume.
Yeah, and that's what I was meaning. That one shot that, you know, that was well placed, I kind of would have expected Vasi to have had that one just because it came from kind of far out and at a relatively bad angle. But you know, you give up that one, and you know, maybe, or if you don't give up that one, maybe, you know, they win this in regulation, just because they don't have the legs to come back and push back at all.
Well, the good news is you're not playing a division opponent in this one, so that other point going to the Ducks doesn't matter as much when it comes to the standings. Joe, you mentioned the power play. I want to bring that up again, too. 40%, 2-for-5 in this game. But what I love is you saw different people getting involved. Sorelli scores a goal on the power play in this one. And, you know, normally the Lightning power play very one-sided, especially with Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos gone. It's kind of gone through a lot of different changes, different looks, but I like that we're getting different types of looks on these power plays. It's not just Nikita Kucherov or just Jake Guentzel as of recently. Guentzel did score on the power play in this game, but Sorelli getting involved on a great pass from Hagel right into the slot. So I thought that was really good to see that the power play is changing things up, doing different looks, and getting back to the way that they had a little slump a little bit there a couple weeks ago. Seems like they're getting back on pace now.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw a few different looks, such as power play two getting a little bit of time there and converting, and then I can't honestly remember if it was the Ducks game or if it was the Red Wings game where we ended up seeing power play one again switching over to being a left side dominant attack. You know, basically putting Kucherov on the left side and then, you know, going the other way with the puck. It could have been this one. I'm not sure, but it's giving them a different look. And man, you know, Hagel and Sorelli just. If it's PK, if it's power play, like they're going to get some shots on net no matter what. So it them converting on the power play, I think, is huge because I think they probably have more points on the penalty kill than on the power play. I mean, they don't get a ton of, you know, Sorelli doesn't get a ton of power play time, or as much as he does penalty kill time. But it's good to see him, you know, convert there too.
And the two power play goals scored in this Ducks game, they weren't, you know, your prototypical power play goals. They weren't one-timers or anything like that. You know, it was Jake Guentzel in front of the net who gets a great pass from Nikita Kucherov. And then
it makes a great move.
It was a great pass and a great goal. And then Anthony Sorelli, you know, just backdoor with his stick on the ice. You know, not your prototypical power play goal, if you will. In front of the net, changing things up. And a big change on the power play was Darren Radish. I don't think he's fully took Victor Hedman's spot. That Boston game was a little rough for sure, but he came out there with the first unit. He was the power play quarterback for pretty much all of the game, I'm pretty sure, and he actually did pretty well.
Yeah, hey, listen, you convert at 40%. That's not a bad percentage whatsoever. The Lightning did have a lot of power play chances in this game, but they get two big ones, and they get the win in this game. 4-3, they get 2 points right back in the win column for the Lightning. Always good to see, especially after a very tough loss against the Boston Bruins. I do want to bring up a quick comment here from Daniel. It's kind of going back to Joe's pirate costume, but I think it's hilarious. I think it should be brought up. Daniel said, ladies can't resist Joe in a pirate costume. And listen, we all want to look as good as Joe, and I know it's tough, but if you need to gear up for Gasparilla, why not head over to shop.rblrsports.com and pick up some awesome Tampa Bay team-inspired merch for you as well. There's a lot of great Buck stuff over there as well. That's great for Gasparilla, but any of the Tampa Bay teams work. You guys can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your orders as well. So head over there, gear up, get ready for Gasparilla that's coming up here very, very soon.
What a killer ad drop. Strokes my ego while pumping the store. Ooh, love it.
Joe, it's what I do best is the ad transitions here. We're going to talk about our ads here and stuff that helps us at RBLR, but we're going to make it fun and worth your while for that as well. So one more game to talk about here for the Lightning against the Detroit Red Wings. A big game for them again when it comes to the division opponents, and the Lightning, pretty darn impressive game. They win this one 5-1. And this was, to me, guys, a tale of two periods. You had the first period where the Lightning did take a 1-0 lead, but it was mostly Andre Vasilevskiy making some unbelievable saves to keep the Lightning in this game. They really didn't have a great first period. And then the second period, they score 3 goals to start this period off in just under 4 minutes. By the way, that is the fourth fastest in franchise history for 3 goals from the start of a period. I know it's kind of a mouthful, but yeah, fourth fastest for the Lightning. They score 3. They ended up scoring 4 goals in that period. Win this one. Final score of 5-1. Also, Nikita Kucherov gets his 600th 100th assist in this game. He is the second Lightning player to do that, right behind Victor Hedman, who just hit it not too long ago. Those two are kind of going back and forth for the assist race right now, which is kind of fun to watch. But a solid game for the Bolts guys.
Yeah, the start of that second period was marked the end of the game for the Red Wings. They did try to push back, but the Lightning were able to shut everything down from that point. And that that first goal, let me see if I have the time. 16 seconds into the period was when the first goal was scored, and then a minute 50 later, the second. So I mean that was. It's really hard to come back from something like that when you're the Red Wings and you're struggling. When you really are struggling to get points overall, they were having a really good stretch too. I think they had won. Right now it says they're 7-3-0. I think that they were like 8-2 or something like that coming into this. So they were playing some really, really big hockey, and it was a great win for the Lightning to be able to carry the momentum from a down spot in the early part of the week to you know, selling high at the end of it.
And I don't think that first period was as bad as it really looked. Like, yeah, the shot differential was pretty bad. Detroit did get some good chances. Vasilevsky played really well. He was really strong in that. But, yeah, that second period, like you said, yeah, that was where the game ended. The power play humming along just like it was in the Anaheim game. Some shoddy officiating in this game. There were some calls I didn't like. There were some calls that did not get called. There was even a call in the third period. I can't remember who it was on, but it was on a Lightning player that I was like, or on a Detroit player. It was for a Lightning power play. I think it was the one that sealed the game. I was like, that's not a good call. These refs were just kind of taking the night off, it seemed. But regardless, the power play was just humming along. It was as good of a game I've seen them play in some time. You know, from the second and the third period on, they were, yeah, again, just one of the best I've seen them play in a while. Because a lot of these wins, you know, in December, despite them winning a ton, they were pretty close games. They were not super convincing wins. This was a very, very convincing win. One of the best ones I've seen in some time. You're muted.
Thank you. Just to go back to some of the stats on the game, with those officiating calls that we saw, six power plays for the Red Wings, who are second in the league for the most power play, for the best power play percentage. I think they may have been actually first for power play goals, though. Maybe Eureka, you can look that up. But for percentage wise, they've been doing really outstanding. And again, we saw in this game, even though we were shorthanded, every time that you see 71 and 38 out there, they're going to have a shot on net when they're down by a man. And sure enough, they had a couple of pretty good looks and, you know, gave some big struggles to one of the best power plays in the entire league.
I didn't realize their power play was humming along like that. But, you know, like you said, we wax poetic about 71 and 38 every week. But even in that Anaheim game, like, Brandon Hagel, he had like two breakaways and then like a one-timer chance all on the penalty kill. I don't think in my hockey watching life I've ever been like excited to watch a penalty kill like I am this season. Those two are just so in tune with each other, so dynamic on the penalty kill that it's like, you know, you're going to get at least one scoring chance with those two on the ice for, you know, the minute 10 that they're on the ice for the penalty kill.
There's flashbacks of Marty was such an amazing forechecker, and he had such great acceleration and speed coming out of the zone that he was always a big threat on the penalty kill. And maybe someone in chat or Eureka can look up how many shorthanded goals he's credited with in his career and kind of compare it to where we're seeing Cirelli and Hagel now for maybe a kind of a glimpse of what we can expect in the future as they continue to push those numbers higher.
Who's excited to watch them in the Four Nations face-off? I know I am, that's for sure. They're going to be fun to watch with that right around the corner right now, playing some fantastic hockey. Just a solid game for the Bolts. And by the way, something I love to see well in this game was the depth. You know, it wasn't just, again, Kucherov, Point, Gensel, even though all of those guys were involved in this game when it comes to the scoring, but you also had a goal from Darren Radish at the fifth goal. You had Mitchell Chafee getting involved, and you know, those is Cam Atkinson had an assist in this game. So it was nice to see every line kind of playing well, getting involved on the score sheet. Special teams across the board was really solid. Just overall, a great game for the Lightning. A big 2 points in the division once again. You know, it's good to see the Lightning playing well, especially bouncing back after that tough loss from Boston. Comment here from Beverly saying, happy to see Crozier with Mac. What a great opportunity to play on his line. Yeah, Crozier, you know, we hadn't been able to see him much because I believe he was dealing with an injury, but he's been called up. He's still called up right now. He got sent down temporarily. He's right back up, though. Should be still involved with the Bolts right now. We still await J.J. Moser's return. Also, that reminds me, we didn't mention this in the Boston game, but Jack Finley made his NHL debut for the Bolts as well. Kind of gets overshadowed with that bad game against Boston,
let's talk about those two players, because I think that's, you know, two almost polar opposites in terms of how they played when they got called up, or at least the impact that they had on the game.
I mean, I don't think there were any negative impacts. I liked what Finley did. You know, he laid the body. You know, he didn't get a whole lot of ice time. But there were two pretty decent-sized hits that I saw. He wasn't any part of the issue in the Boston game. I don't know if he was a minus or anything like that, but, you know, limited minutes. But I thought, you know, when he was out there, he looked decent, but, you know, still kind of like Bambi. You know, he's, what, 6'5", 6'6", and, you know, the skating might not be there, but, you know, when he was out there, you know, those two really nice hits. One was, you know, well after the whistle, but it was just kind of a scrum hit, if you will.
But I still thought he actually was positive. He was a plus one on the game.
Give him a Selke. But as far as Crozier goes, did he play the Detroit game and the Anaheim game?
I thought it was. I'll double check, but I thought it was just the Detroit game.
Okay.
that he was in.
Regardless, I didn't hardly know that he was out there, which is, to me, a pretty good thing for a young, you know, call-up defenseman. If I don't have to point you out or say, you know, you made an error here or whatever it is, that's pretty good. I'll take that all day instead of, you know, pointing out you missed your guy or there was a bad pass or you couldn't get down to the zone. I thought he was perfectly neutral, which to me, for, again, a depth defenseman, you know, a call-up defenseman, I'll take that any day of the week, you know.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty fair. The role that Crozier was filling was a big one, though, right? He's playing against some of the top line guys. He was playing basically in Chernak's spot, and I thought he did really, really well, given, you know, what a tough assignment that is. I'm being a little bit hard on Finley, mostly because it was a kind of a bad game. But for being such a big guy, he did lay the, you know, that one real big hit, and then, you know, the one that was he's not even credited with that second one. But I think he definitely still has more development to do than, say, Crozier, which I love the fact that Crozier got some ice time now, because, you know, we've said it kind of year in and year out that we have maybe one specific defenseman, but it seems like, you know, D-men go down all the time. So to have somebody that's a quality player that we can call up when inevitably, you know, I wonder if we should start turning it into a verb with how often that Chernak goes down when someone gets Chernaked and it misses a game or three. We've got a really strong body back there to fill his spot.
But it was a pretty serious injury. Like, it wasn't like, you know, he took a shot or something and, you know, misses 3 weeks. Like, it was a pretty gruesome looking injury that happened. So.
It did look pretty painful.
I'll give him a break on this one.
I've made the joke myself before about Chernak getting hurt all the time. I think I posted a picture once on TBR about him being wrapped in bubble wrap. We need to wrap in bubble wrap, because he really does get hurt a lot, whether it's his fault or not. I mean, it's never his fault, obviously, but, you know, it does happen a lot, it seems like. So speaking of Chernak, question here from Daniel asking, does Chernak get traded this offseason? Feels like there's some young D-man ready to come up. Guys, interested to hear your take on this, but for me personally, I don't know. He's got that long-term contract. I believe he's got a no movement clause, if I'm not mistaken. JB likes to give those out like candy sometimes. And while there are some younger D-men that I do think can come, like Crozier, I don't know if they're quite ready and if there's enough. So I would say no, unless there's something that the Lightning see that I don't with the team down in the AHL. I wouldn't say quite yet.
Has there been a replacement for Cap Geek or whatever the latest iteration is?
I think it's still really just a couple of different, like, you know, there's a couple ones that you can use, and okay. There's not like a cap friendly.
Okay. Yeah.
Puckpedia is kind of the replacement ish.
That's been the biggest.
Do you guys know what Chernak's getting paid?
I think it's 5 point something, I'm pretty sure.
5 point something? I mean, I was much more sell on him last season, but
5.2.
5.2. Yeah. I mean, I guess we've, you know, for a top four D man, you know, that's a pretty average or decent rate. But you know, I was real selling them last season because I thought that we had big gaps in our defense, and just swapping out Sergachev for Mac Daddy has made a world of difference in terms, and maybe also getting more comfortable with the system that they're in. Has made a world of difference in the way the team is playing defensively.
And part of me is kind of like, I don't know if a team is going to trade for a $5.2 million shutdown defenseman. Like, you know, you're not in it for the points with Chernak, you're in it for the shutdown abilities of him. But at the same time, the cap is projected to go up pretty significantly this year as well. So, and a right-handed defenseman, for whatever reason, is coveted by all 32 NHL teams.
It's funny, comment just said that too.
Oh, but it's true. I mean, teams love their right-handed defensemen. So I think he still does, you know, have some value. I think he has some value to this team, but also as a trade chip. But I don't think he's gone, at least this offseason or anything like that.
Can I take 2 seconds just for one of these comments and say, what's up, Jax? Thank you for saying hi.
Jack jumping in saying hi to Uncle Joe. Love to see that. Welcome in, Jax, to here on RBR Lightning. A couple other comments too I do want to bring up as well. Daniel saying a lot of cap space for a player who doesn't stay in the lineup. Yes, listen, when he's in the lineup though, I do think he is a decently impactful player. You know, the injuries are kind of an unfortunate side effect, but again, I don't know, unless they go and trade for somebody specifically and Chernak is willing to move his clause, you know, then potentially I could see it happening. Cap's potentially going up here near 100 mil, 5.2 is solid. Go ahead, Joe.
And they all seem to, for JBB, give up that portion of the clause. You know, it seems to be kind of more of a...
That's true.
Yeah, they do a friendly thing. And I mean, I kind of agree with this comment with Beverly that he'll probably stay as long as Mac is here, because it does provide a different look compared to, you know, with Sergachev being a little bit more offensive. You couldn't take, I don't know. I kind of like the way our D is right now. I don't know if I'd change it.
I'd make some moves, but I don't think Chernak is part of them.
I think it needs a little
fair,
just a little bit. Like, so when you get down with the Lilleberg, Perbix, sometimes they can get a little inconsistent, which is, I think, a problem. But for the most part, I am with you, Joe. Like, the top part of our defense is, you know, McDonough, Hedman, those guys are all really solid, and they've got some good pieces there. So we'll see as the trade deadline continues to quickly approach if the Lightning decide to make any moves, but only time will tell. All right, let's go to our 3 stars of the week for this week. A lot of good candidates for this week. Overall, a good week for the Lightning. They get the 2 wins to the 1 loss. They get all those points. And there were a lot of guys putting up a different amount of points. So, all right, let's get started with our number 3 star of the week. It goes to a man who I actually don't think has been on this list yet this season. He's a very
not a 5 anything to say about it.
Hey, you know what? He had a good week and he deserves a 3rd star. It's none other than the Bald Eagle himself, Darren Radish. He gets the number 3 star. Radish, 1 goal, 3 assists, 4 points, and was a +2. His big goal coming on Kucherov's 600th assist as well. So Darren Radish, 3rd star of the week.
Yeah, let's talk about that plus two. And, you know, all right, so backing up just to that defenseman talk again, you know, looking at depth, we've needed some lower line guys to step up a little bit. You know, we've seen a little bit of a regression from Perbix. Lilleberg is, you know, you get with out of him. Radish is, I felt for the past couple of seasons, always been that X factor where if he's on his game, he can elevate it pretty high. And this season we've seen it be just, you know, kind of average or and inconsistent. But this past week, he really, really brought it. In the game against Boston, he was a plus two on the night, which, I mean, when you lose by four, that's a huge thing. And then, you know, a total of 4 points in the week for a defenseman, and he dialed in his one-timer for that game against Detroit. I love what he brought this week and really glad to see him step up and get on our stars.
Very well said, Joe. Yeah, I have to give him his flowers. He did play really, really well. You know, he's got that, was it a power play goal in the Detroit game? Whatever it was, it was a missile. We know he can shoot the puck and he can also dish it out when he feels like it. He can get pucks through, and when he's not making boneheaded defensive mistakes, he's it happens a good bit, but this week was void of any. And when he's not making those mistakes, I guess maybe not boneheaded, but bald-headed mistakes.
this is a lot of hate for Darren Radish for him being on the star. Come on,
it's Matt. Just the one caveat I have is when he's not making these mistakes, he's playing really, really good. Good enough to be the number one power play quarterback to take Victor Hedman's job, at least temporarily, and ending up, plus two in the Boston game. I mean, that's credit enough itself right there to say you had a really good week. Get rid of all the points. If you're plus two in that game, you're flawless, I guess.
Yeah, and listen, you're not wrong. Radish has not been a consistent player. It's the one thing you hope to see maybe him improve on. But hey, he was good this week, and that's why he gets on our list on the number three spot for this week. All right, time to go to our number two star of the week. It's a guy who has been on this list a couple of times, none other than Jake Guentzel. Man, he is continuing to shine here in the Sunshine State. Guentzel finishes the week with 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points. He was a minus two, but listen, when you're converting on the power play and putting up points, you can forgive a little bit when you have a minus every once in a while. So Jake Guentzel, number two star of the week.
Yeah, and with that minus, I mean, it mostly was that Boston game where he's playing against the top line every time. So it skews that stat a little bit, but man, just going back to the power play goal that he scored against, I think, Detroit, you know, just being he's so smart with the puck, and it's a completely different type of smart than what we see with Kucherov. Kucherov, I feel like, is really smart with, he's smart with space, with creating space, with finding players smart coming in. There's everything, yeah. And Guentzel's really smart, but Guentzel is a beaut for sure in a different way. But you can see how much intelligence he has in his game, and you know, that's part of the goal that he scored on that power play, which was I love seeing those ones that are in tight and you think that they're not going to have any room, but somehow they create it.
Yeah, it just, like we always say, just the perfect addition to this team. Like, I don't think there was a better free agent signing at all this year, and just how good a chemistry, how well he's fit in on the top line, on the top power play. I guess that took a little bit, but, you know, now that it's working really well, and he's not a one-trick pony. He's dynamic. You know, he can score from anywhere. He can dish from anywhere. He's got a really underrated shot, like a good wrist shot and snapshot.
We saw his one-timer, the power play one-timer that he had.
Yeah, that was last week or something. Maybe not what he's known for, but he can shoot it and he can dish it. And just a tremendous player to have on this team. I'm so happy we have him for another 7 years after this one, too.
Daniel brings up an interesting question here that I want to throw up on the screen. It says, does Guentzel's game complement Kucherov more than Stamkos? I want to hear you guys'
opinion.
Stop
it, Dan.
That's a good question, though.
It is a good question, because I think they're definitely clicking right now. But Kucherov is also so good; he can play with anybody, and he's going to make them look good. Stamkos and Kucherov, though, man, were those guys good, especially on the power play. Guentzel, I think, is just a little bit different type of player, and you see in a different area with Kucherov.
So Dan's trying to get me going with trashing on Stamkos, because I have no I have no choice but to. In this scenario, those two were a one-trick pony on the power play, and we've had to adjust to a different look on the power play now without having that one-timer threat. But five-on-five, I mean, forget about it. I can't think of the last time that we thought that Stamkos was a scoring threat carrying the puck into the zone. He was never an amazing passer for the Lightning. Gensel opens up a whole new dynamic, and plus he's so good defensively too.
Yeah, I do agree that Gensel's game does complement Cooch's a lot better than Stamkos did. I think it was Stamkos' game improved via Kucherov's game. Like, I don't know, without Kucherov, where Stamkos might be. Like, he's having a decent year in Nashville, but it's hard to say that these last couple of years he wasn't a Kucherov merchant. Man, am I jaded?
Hey, don't look now, but Steven Stamkos in his last three games has 4 goals and is a +5. He's hot right now over there in Nashville. So listen, I know Stamkos has not had a great year over there. Nobody in Nashville is having fun, but Stamkos is playing well as of late. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But hey, nonetheless, we know Gensel is connecting with Kucherov, and that's great to see for the Lightning, and especially this year. So that's always a good sign.
Since it was brought up, do we think that Stamkos gets the 30 goals this year?
Yeah, I do.
30 goals. Let's see. Where is he? I just pulled up his stats. Where is he at right now on the year? He is at 16.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
more than halfway through.
It depends on.
He tends to get more stingy as the season goes on.
He had a really slow start along with everybody else in Nashville. And I'm not saying they're playing good by any means, but they're playing better than they were in October and November. I think with and also the other people on his line starting to click, like Jonathan Marchessault is starting to pick things up, and you know, he's a good disher for Stamkos. Sorry, the dog is destroying everything right now. I think he'll get to 30 goals. He might even, you know, push 35 if he has a strong back half of the season. But I think it's, I don't know, a 20-goal season from Steven Stamkos while he's healthy just sounds so macabre. I don't know.
Well, listen, if he's hot, I mean, you know, 4 goals in his last 3 games, he can definitely get there. I think there's no question about that. That slow start in Nashville and for Nashville period as a whole entire team did not help. So I think he can do it, especially if this stretch continues form right now. So keep your eye on those. Stamkos is playing well right now. But comment here from Daniel too, grab a couple of these as well. Gensel seems to help point in the loose puck races more than Stamkos ever did as well. Yeah, that's true. These are two different players as well. I think that should be mentioned. Stamkos is a shooter, power play guy, especially later in his career. Gensel, you know, a little bit different when he's more on the 5-on-5 guy. And a couple other comments here. Beverly asking, how many are power play?
When I looked, more than half were his goals were power play
on this season. Yeah, so I mean, Stamkos is still a big power play guy. Although I don't know the last couple of games, I don't know how many of those are power play goals, because actually I can probably tell. Oh, just one of them are power play goals. So out of his last 4 goals in his 3 games, only one on the power play.
So what is it? What is his power play goal total? Do you have that pulled up?
I should be able to pull it up really quickly right here. Let me just scroll down. Nashville Predators power play goals, 8 out of the 16. Our power play goals, one out of the last couple. So yeah, still power play, big power play guy. That's what he does best, and he's still doing it on Nashville a little bit. But
I mean, all right, Jake Gensel is just under half his goals being power play goals. He has 11 out of his 23.
Gensel has definitely come through big on the power play as of late. Joe, you're muted.
My bad. I saw this on the broadcast a couple of. Yeah, I think my little mute button's like, I tap it and it's starting to not work as well. A couple of games ago when we were at, let's see, we're at 40, how many games are we at? 44 play. All right, so it was right at the 42nd game that we have 4 players with more than 20 goals at the halfway point in the season. Did you guys see this statistic get pulled up? And the last team... Did you see this, Jake?
Well, which game was it brought up at? I probably didn't see it.
I mean, I think I'm assuming it must have been the Anaheim game, because I think it was at the 42 mark, you know, because it was one game after 41. But at the halfway point, we have 4 players with more than 20 goals. The last time that this happened, and I know that I Like Collectibles is going to correct me if I get this year wrong, but I think it was the was it 93-94 Penguins where you had like Lemieux and Jágr. That was the last time there was a team with 420 goal scorers at the halfway point.
I did not know that. That's interesting. Hey, you know what? Good for the Lightning getting that depth scoring involved. That's one of the been, you know, something that's been an issue for him as of late. So that's good to see. Hopefully it will continue. Morgan sounds like
that's a Morgan alert.
she got a new toy today.
She's excited about the all those goal scorers for the Lightning. I don't want to forget, before we get too sidetracked, our number one star of the week. We had our first two, but the number one star of the week, guys, he's back again. It's the one and only Nikita Kucherov, who gets the first star of the week. Kucherov, one goal, five assists for six total points. Also gets that 600 assist, as we mentioned before. And he is the number one star of the week. Now, guys, I don't know what you guys have to say about Kucherov, but I think, you know, let's have a little bit of fun here. In honor of Kucherov, and when he was at media after the game and he got a 600 assist, he came out. Regrettably, but he did it, and he was asked about his 600th assist, and his response was cool. So in honor of Kucherov's response, I think we should go one word here for Kucherov getting the first star of the week.
Heart.
Unique. Amazing. There you go. What more do you need to say about Nikita Kucherov? I did get a kick out of his response, by the way, for 600 assists. You know, that's classic Nikita Kucherov.
Can I gush over one thing about him? Because I was saving it specifically for right now.
No, absolutely.
Oh my God. What he did for his goal against Detroit. Oh my God. The way that he was able to turn people, two players, inside out and then snipe top corner against the grain. That was one of like the most exciting goals that I've seen in recent weeks, and that's one of those goals I think I'll remember for a really long time.
Oh yeah, that goal got me, you know, jumping out of my chair like here at my house. I wasn't at the game for that one. It got me jumping up, screaming, cheering with everybody else in my house. Like it was that good of a goal. One of the best goals I've seen him scored. One of the best goals I've seen scored at all this year.
Is it crazy to say that I didn't even think that was one of his best goals? Like, that's how good I think Kucherov is. Like, that one, I was like, man, that was a good goal. But, like, I mean, I'm so numb to Kucherov doing that all the time.
He has, you know, quite a few, especially the inside-out move goal, where he blows past people and then scores, and they're pretty. But, I mean, this season and how much the one player overcommitted, I think there's that – oh my God, Kucherov's going in. I have to skate really hard and break up this play. And it just goes flying past. That was, that's going to be a memorable one, even if it might not be the best one he's ever scored.
So is it in your top 10, Jake? Oh, of man, goals, not plays, so many goals.
Yeah, probably. I have to sit down and actually go back and watch all the amazing goals he's had. Yeah, I would say top 10, but definitely not like best goal I don't think I've seen from him, but it was a good goal. But I think the point of that is just saying, like, that's how good he is, and that's how often he can do this, is that it seems like another Tuesday when I watch that goal for me.
Dan has a comment in here.
Here it is. Daniel caught the no shot breakaway in Washington. My favorite. Yes, that goal is by far one of my favorites. Actually, it inspired.
Was that the first one that he did?
Yes, that was the first.
That was the second one. The first one was the shootout attempt against Buffalo that he won the game with. And this one was, I'm not sure, because he scored two on Holtby. He did one in the All-Star game and then the one during the actual game. But the Buffalo one came first.
That one actually inspired my senior quote at the time, which was, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take unless you're Nikita Kucherov. I'm glad that's you guys awesome got that quote, because nobody else in my school got it. I was the only, you know, Mega Lightning fan that wanted to throw that in there. But yes, that by far, Dan, is one of the greatest goals for Nikita Kucherov up there in top one. I know my favorite play, by the way, I know, Matt, you said not plays. But that pass to Ross Colton to beat the Panthers in that game was, oh man, that play was so good. By far,
that's behind the back sort of pass.
When he was basically behind the net, yeah, wasn't even looking, just threw it right in front, and Colton had his stick down on the ice, and they score with what, a second left or something like that. I think it was game three, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, great stuff from Nikita Kucherov. He gets the number one star of the week. So your three stars, I know we took a little while on it, but Radish, Gensel, and Kucherov. Let us know in the comments down below. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Love to hear what you guys have to say on the three stars of the week. All right, quickly here, let's look ahead for the Lightning on the upcoming week. This is a weird week for the Lightning. They have not one, but two sets of back-to-backs here. Tonight, they play the Toronto Maple Leafs at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, not 7 o'clock. Then you play Montreal tomorrow at 7. And then it is going to be Chicago and Detroit on Friday and Saturday. The Chicago game at 8 p.m. Eastern and the Detroit game at 7 p.m. Eastern. So two sets of back-to-backs. Why they had to do that, don't ask me. But a big week for the Lightning with two back-to-backs, and especially this game against Toronto, a division opponent. Jonas Johansson expected to get the start in net tonight, by the way.
Interesting.
Really?
Yes, Johansson was the first one off at practice, so he's expected to start. I think this is – I said the same thing when I first heard it. Vasi in his last two games against the Maple Leafs has not been good. I can pull up the exact stats here in a second, but I'm thinking maybe that's why they could be doing it.
Well, with Montreal actually making a pretty good push, I can understand it too, because right now they have two games in hand on Boston and are 2 points behind them. And they're 7-2-1 in their last 10. Meanwhile, actually, I mean, Toronto is still pretty hot. They're 7-3 in their last 10. But yeah, I feel like Toronto does have a lot more of a solution to Vasi than most teams do. They tend to be really high scoring affairs. And I mean, this is for me the marquee matchup of the week. So I'm looking forward to seeing this one and seeing, is this the first game that the Lightning have played against Toronto this season, though?
One earlier, if I'm not mistaken. I'll double check in a second. Here's that stat line, by the way. He's 0-2 in two games with a goals against average of 5.61 and a save percentage of 810 against the Maple Leafs. So it's
not great.
But, you know, it's Vasilevskiy. He'll bounce back eventually. But Johansson sounds like he's going to be one of the net tonight.
And you know what? Jonas Johansson has actually been playing really good. If you subtract his first two starts this year, pretty much every single other game he's played good. Even if it wasn't a win, I don't think any of them were his fault because we lost. So this is actually a bit of a good coaching decision because Montreal, they're playing really well right now. And they've got a young stud goalie right now who's making a name for himself too. So a nice goalie battle between Vasilevskiy and Jacob Dobesh, I think it is. Could be pretty fun, you know, a young guy learning from, the best goalie in the league. And then, yeah, just sheltering Vasilevskiy from the Leafs, you know, give Johansson the start. And if things go sideways, throw Vasilevskiy in. Who cares? You know, do the reverse. Instead of pulling Vasilevskiy for like the eighth straight time we've played the Leafs, you know, start out with Johansson at least.
The Lightning did play the Leafs earlier this season, by the way. It was on November 30th. It was a 5-3 loss at home at Amalie Arena. So this is the second meeting between the two teams. Comment here from Daniel, by the way, and I have to bring this up because I think it's funny. He says, bet the over tonight. Listen, I started saying that when, especially after Johansson's first two games, I was like, okay, every time this guy's in net, you got to bet the over. He's been great as of late, and the over has not been hitting when Johansson's in net. Just saying, I don't know. Toronto's a little bit of a different opponent here, but I don't know. We'll see what we're in for here.
I was gonna say, anyone have? Dan just posted what the odds were. I was gonna say, does anyone have them?
Yeah, -110 for over six and a half goals. It's a good bet. These are two high scoring teams, but I don't know. I just, ever since Johansson's been playing really well, I don't know. We'll see.
I think that's pretty fair. There's no way that they're not going to have seven goals in this game. I mean, when's the last time? I mean,
there's a way.
I guess so. If there's a way to also quickly pull up the head-to-head, some of you guys are so fast at pulling up the stats, and I'm just too forgetful to remember what sites, but if you can pull up all the matchups against Toronto for, say, the last 3 years and see how many games were actually under, let's go with the 6.5 mark. I have a feeling that there's only like a couple of games like that. And I was vamping just to buy you a little bit.
I can definitely pull up. You just got to give me like 2 seconds here. Let's
take a look. And the other thing is, I don't know who would you say that the goalie was, Matt?
Jacob Dobesh. For Toronto? I was talking about the Montreal game.
Okay, I was going to say for Toronto, but it's Dobesh, I don't even recognize that name as a goalie.
He's a young kid. He came, I think he's 5-0-0. He started started his career with a pretty decent shutout. All his games, he's been a really good goalie. A lot of these Canadians fans, they're not known for overreacting, calling him Carey Price 2.0.
Okay, so I had a hockey game last night at the rink, and you know, afterwards we usually go and get some food in the bar, and they were showing highlights, and I think they were showing a bunch of Montreal highlights, and yeah, if that's the same guy that there's, you know, they kind of put a banner saying Carey Price 2.0, he was making some insane saves.
He has been playing really good.
I have the stats. Are we including the playoffs here?
Why
just
not
feed them?
All right. So the last two games have gone over 5-3, 5-2. You also had a 4-6 game. The last one that did not go seven goals was in 2024. It was a 4-1 win for the Lightning. You also had a 5-6 game. That one went over in overtime. That was a regular season game, 4-3. That one went over. You had a 1-2 game. That was in the first round of the playoffs. That going back to 2023. So more often than not, as I'm scrolling through all these, it does go over. But every once in a while, there is like one or two, I would say maybe six games, you know, out of the last couple of years that went under. So majority over, but there are a couple of under mixed in there as well.
Guys, I can't wait to watch some Lightning hockey tonight.
I'm pretty excited.
I'm right there with you, Joe. And with that said, we'll get ready to wrap things up here. Don't forget to tune in next week. We'll have all the games to recap for you, including the one tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Ring that bell for notifications. Follow us on social media. Hit that share button. It really does help us out, and we really do appreciate it. Thank you guys so much, though, for tuning in. As always, go enjoy some Lightning hockey, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.